Hello, everybody, and welcome to Absurd Hypotheticals, the show where we overthink dumb questions so you don't have to. I'm your host, Marcus Lehner, and I'm joined here today by Chris Yee and Ben Storms. Say hi, guys.
Hello, I'm Chris.
Hey, I'm Ben.
And I just got back from vacation. I went to Nova Scotia.
Ooh.
Where is that geographically?
It's in Canada, on the East Coast.
The East Coast of Canada.
Yeah.
Wait, really? I thought it was, like, in Europe somewhere.
Nope. It's actually not very far away from us at all. It took, like, an hour to get there on plane.
Oh, my God. I was literally talking about, like, oh, I talked to Ben, but I gotta wait for Chris to hit the time zone difference, so he's gonna respond later.
There wasn't a one-hour time difference.
It's a long hour, so, you know, there it is.
Yeah, we saw a lot of interesting stuff there that I could talk about, but I saw one thing that I really want to talk about. It's a fashion thing.
What? Okay.
So, you know, a lot of girls wear, like, short shorts because mm-hmm. they want to show off their legs.
Who wear short shorts? Yeah. Oh, sorry, that was a dumb joke anyway.
I wear short shorts. Edit it together so it makes it sound like I helped Ben do his stupid phrase.
Thank you.
Yeah, I saw a girl that was wearing short shorts, but it had pockets, and the liners of the pockets were longer than the shorts. It was like the pockets were sticking out of the bottom
of
the shorts.
Wait, you've never seen that?
I've never seen that. That's a thing?
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
I've seen that, like, all the time.
Yeah, that
was the first time I saw that.
You don't know enough scantily clad girls.
Why do they do that? I don't understand.
I think it's usually where they convert either pants or shorts into short shorts. And the pockets already were at, like, a reasonable length, and then the shorts became shorter than the pockets.
No, Ben, you don't understand fashion.
Do they not think it looks ridiculous?
Yes, but what it is that's... The old way is they used to have pants that they would cut off and the shorts would be hanging back. But now everyone knows they look like that, so when they produce new short pants, they make long pockets in the short shorts that on purpose go below the cut line.
That's so stupid, though.
I mean, yeah.
I mean, I guess if they want to use the pockets, then they have to do that.
No, you don't use the pockets.
Then what? Why are they there, then?
Fashion. They're fashion flaps.
It's so dumb.
They're to increase drag in case you're falling from an airplane.
It reminds me of, like, Back to the Future, where, like, the fashion statement was to wear your pockets inside out.
Yeah.
It's just as dumb as that.
What if you could grab them and they would be stretchy? Like, you know how they have, like, those rubber, like, long things they can pull to exercise with? Like, what if that was already attached to your legs at all times? So, like, you're waiting in line at the Starbucks, waiting for your mocha frappuccino because, you know... You're the kind of person who wears these pants also. And you're like, you know, I could actually, like, take these 5 minutes and do a little bit of a workout and just start pulling on your pants pockets and getting that good arm workout.
Just make sure your shorts don't, like, pop off. I mean, they're attached to your shorts, so you're going to be pulling on your shorts.
Yeah, but I mean, it's kind of just around your waist, so it's not going to, like, I don't see how they would come off except, like, literally ripping in half, which denim does not do. Denim's a good material.
It seems like a pretty big risk to run, Marcus. Your downside is pretty high here.
All right, second option. They're stretchy, and they got a clip on the end so that you can connect to kid leashes. Now you don't have to hold your kid's leashes anymore. They're just connected
they're
to
just
your legs.
Attached to your pants.
That is an idea, yeah.
I mean, if you want to make a fashion statement, I think having short shorts so short that the pockets show and then connecting those pockets to children is really going to do a much better job of making you stand out.
I mean, if you're not using the pockets as pockets, you might as well use them as something. And a leash is just as good.
I mean, at that point, if you have kids connected, you could fill the pocket with, like, snacks, like goldfish. Like, you can just put a whole bunch of goldfish in there, but...
And then, like, cut a little hole in the pocket sleeve so they can just, like, grab inside the pocket from their leash.
Yeah, give them a reason to come back. That's what you don't get is you don't have the... You need the positive reinforcement along with the negative leash reinforcement.
Okay, so, yeah. Patent it.
I'm
pretty sure no one has patented that yet.
That seems like a pretty safe bet, yeah.
I think if you went to a patent office with that idea, they would arrest you.
What do you call it? This is a very important question. What do you call these leash pockets?
Ooh.
It's like it has to involve the word tail, right?
No, that's the other side of
yeah,
the
that's the
legs.
Back side. Unless it's
the leg
back
leash.
Pockets.
The
leg leash is good.
The pet pocket.
The pet pocket.
Oh, yeah, I guess you could use it for your dogs, too. It doesn't have to be for kids.
Why do we not think about that idea before the whole kid thing? Wait, why is kid leash the first kind of leash we thought of? What's that say about us as people?
That's the first kind of leash Marcus thought of.
It's the first kind of leash I thought of because I was trying to make, like, this mental image of this really just terrible person wearing these shorts.
Okay, that's reasonable. Fair enough.
I was building a person out of all the things I find distasteful.
So pet pocket. I like it.
The pet pocket.
Matt, we should have just saved that for the ad break, but oh well. All right, anyhow, we should probably do some questions. And actually, this week, we're going to have a lot more questions than usual because we are doing a lightning round. So when we try to come up with these questions, we end up with a lot of ideas that aren't really good enough for a whole episode or just don't have enough depth for us to all explore three different answers. So we've kept these on a list, and we're going to blow through as many as we can today in our lightning round. So these are going to be wacky, weird, and we have not planned for these.
Whatsoever. So
it's going to be a bit different than our typical episodes, and there's going to be way less math.
Yeah, any math we do, you should be very, very impressed by, because...
Yeah, that would be on the mental level.
Yeah.
Also, it should definitely be checked before it's used in any real-world situation.
Oh, God, yes. Which, that's a statement that we should put before every one of our podcasts, but...
Well, we're specifically handle not real-world situations, so...
Yeah, we don't have to worry about that. We're never going to grow an inch every month. That's never going to happen.
Well, maybe like 1 month.
January. It'll happen in January.
Like January of your first year, like you might grow an inch. Anyhow, first question off, what if you were magnetic? And I'm not talking like Magneto level superpowers, because that's like just Magneto. I'm talking like, you're just like a decent fridge magnet level magnetic.
So it'd just be like mildly inconvenient, right?
Well, you couldn't really use credit cards, right?
Oh, that would suck. I didn't think about that.
Like you're just going to strip off any, you can't, if you're, like in Boston, you know, the subway of Boston uses a magnetic strip card for your access. Can't use those.
Yeah, I mean, like, everything is transitioning to that type of thing, right?
Yeah.
But can you break the thing? Can you just stick your hand on it and then just trip out the admission thing? Can you get free subway rides?
Is it strong enough for that? I don't know if that's how it works.
Probably not.
If you're just, like, sitting there, like, rubbing it with your hand, waiting for it to, like...
Sir?
Yeah.
Sir?
Sir, can you please stop...
Please, I don't know what you're doing, but whatever it is, don't do it anymore. It's disturbing me.
So you'll probably be forced to use cash, and then, like, all the coins will be really annoying, too.
Coins I don't think are magnetic.
I don't think so. Yeah.
No, because I'm pretty sure if you dump a magnet in coins, like, they don't stick.
Hmm.
I remember being disappointed about that as a kid. But honestly, I think a worse... problem than even the credit cards is your phone is not gonna like your hands being magnetic.
Yeah, those are like the two most important things in my life, my phone and my credit card.
That's also one of your like main possible go-tos to avoid using like credit cards and stuff is using like Apple Pay or something. And
yeah.
Well, we already just established that cash is not magnetic, so you do have options.
So you do have an option. A very annoying option.
You'll just look like an old man to everyone.
Oh my God, how annoying is it gonna be to get into your house?
Ooh.
Because you take your keys out and all your keys are now all over your fingers. And like you're trying to get the one key like in that, you know, position, but like it's gonna be flipping around your finger and it's gonna be horrible.
You'll never lose your keys though.
How much random like metal would you collect in one day of your life, just like walking around that you don't notice? Like you get home and you just have like 8 paper clips on your ass or something.
Oh, what if you sat on a metal bench? Because that's a lot of surface area.
You can get up. You can get... fridge magnets aren't that strong.
That's just a way for you to work out.
Yeah. That's a very good point.
Ooh, I like that, actually.
Yeah. It's like squats, but if you get too weak, you die on that bench.
This is my bench, and I'm going to die on it.
It's high stakes. You need the fear. Keep you going.
Well, that's already a lot of things that suck.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think this is a positive thing.
No, it's not. I actually cannot think of a single way that your life would be improved. Aside from, I guess, not being able to lose your keys.
Yeah, like, if you drop something under the fridge, maybe. Oh, you could be a carpenter, because you can just hold on to all the nails. Because that's really the hardest part about being a carpenter, is just having the nails, like, on, like holding them while also doing things that need two hands.
That's true.
So they make gloves with a magnet on the back, so you're already, like... beating the system there.
Yeah, you've saved approximately $8, my guess at the price of those gloves.
And you saved $500 on a smartphone, so...
Perfect.
Double positive.
Or you wasted, like, $1,500 on 3 smartphones before realizing the issue.
Why does this keep happening?
It'd probably take a while. Like, if it just happened randomly, it'd probably take a while for you to realize that it happened.
Right, yeah.
Because it's not, like, super magnetic. Like, huge metal things aren't going to come flying at you. It's just, like, you're slightly magnetic.
Oh no, what if you walked by some of those, like, you know how people get, like, the rare earth magnets and have them on their desk as desk toys? What if you walked by some of those? You'd never get them off, right? Like, those are just on you now.
Yeah, they're just gonna be on you. And then, like, I also imagine, like, you sit down for a job interview, and you've hidden your earth rocks, like, somewhere, like, behind you, so they don't show too much in your profile. And then, like, they have one of those little, one of those metronome things, like the five balls that tap back and forth. Yeah. And, like, you sit down and they just all, like, five of them point straight towards you, like, and are horizontal. And you're like,
I should
my
go.
Qualifications. I am a carpenter for 10 years.
People say my personality is magnetic. As is my person.
Yeah. My person is magnetic.
Oh, personality? That was a typo.
Alright, let's jump to the next one. I think we covered all the things there. What if you swap bodies with a squirrel?
This would be terrifying, right?
Yeah, I don't really know like what the daily life of a squirrel is. Like, they climb trees, they eat acorns.
I'm a little worried that I would be worse at squirreling than a squirrel.
Oh, definitely.
So yeah, you got all your human smarts, and you can like, you know, use tools and build traps or whatever.
But you have none of the squirrel instincts.
Yeah, I do not have the ability to remember where the fuck I put my acorns.
So here's one thing that I thought of. You don't necessarily have to live entirely as a squirrel, because I know, you know, you know that if you as a squirrel go up to like some people eating McDonald's on a bench, they will probably give you a fry. If you just sit there and look cute, they will eventually just be like, oh, huh, and like toss a fry down or something. So I think you can basically panhandle.
Well, think about it this way, Ben. Like, think about how bad eating a box of fries from McDonald's feels for your body. Now, like, you're a squirrel, so you're way smaller than a human. So, like, when you eat one fry, that's eating, like, a whole box of fries. So if you eat, like, four fries, you're just eating four large fries.
That's
and you're going to feel like shit.
You're not going to get much more than fries, are you? Yeah.
Also, the question isn't what if you became a squirrel, it's what if you swapped bodies with a squirrel.
Oh, so my God.
Yeah, we do have to address the other side of the equation.
Oh, your apartment is going to be a mess, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't really know, like, they're probably just going to run around in your apartment not knowing how to get out.
Yeah.
No, I know what's going to happen. They're gonna assuming they can get outside. Because I imagine the switch has to happen on the outside. Like, you have to at least touch a squirrel to swap bodies. I'm not dealing with this through the walls magic crap.
Okay.
That's how it always happens in the movies.
But, like, you're at least in the same, like, you'd both be in the backyard. You're not going to both be in the house.
It usually happens when you're asleep. Or in, like, a thunderstorm or something.
What if, okay, let's just meet in the middle. What if you were sleeping in a hammock and a squirrel falls on you?
Okay.
Yeah, okay, that's a good way to do it.
Okay, cool.
And you see a shooting star and you make a wish that you wish you weren't human.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
And it ironically comes true?
Yes.
So I think the first thing the squirrel's going to do with its instinct is try to climb a tree like squirrels do.
It's not going to work very well, is it?
And our human bodies are not made for that. So any careful manicure that you got that previous evening because you're going to treat yourself, your fingers, the squirrel's fingers, I guess, are just now bleeding and a mess. And do you even want that body back now? Like, just all your fingernails are gone.
Counterpoint. I don't think the squirrel makes it to the tree, because I think it's going to try to run on all fours and not do very well.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if I would do good on the other side running with four legs, though.
Right, I was thinking about that, too.
I mean, I guess as a squirrel, I'd try to follow my body, right? Because I don't want it to die. I want to try to reverse this eventually.
Right, yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, but you have to figure out your four legs.
Yeah. I mean, both of you do, so you're both going to be flailing around for a little bit. And I think both of you will figure it out at the same time, around the same time.
I like to think I'm smarter than a squirrel. And I also like to think that four legs is going to be a little easier to figure out than two legs. Like, if I stumble around on four legs, I'm going to be at least mobile.
Twist. Someone is going to see your human body writhing around trying to figure out how to walk correctly. I think they're having a seizure and call an ambulance. You have to figure something out quickly.
Yeah, you're not going to be able to get on that ambulance.
You're not, no.
You can do one of those, like, you hang on to the bottom, but I don't know, like, you're just going to end up as roadkill.
You'll be pretty safe in the hospital, though.
Your body would be, but how are you going to get there as a squirrel?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how to get to anywhere. I don't, like, I need a GPS.
You steal a phone.
Actually, if you steal a phone, you can just live your life on the internet.
You have to unlock it, though.
Like, I'm sure there's people, places that, you know, they just live most of their lives through the internet. Like, they don't leave their house very often. So you could manage that as a squirrel, and your username could be, like, chock full of nuts as a joke. But people would think you're a human.
D's Nuts 69.
D's Nuts 69. Man, doesn't he work? He's, like, on the forum all the time.
He always logs off over the winter. I don't know why.
All right. Did we solve it? It feels like we solved it.
Probably.
I guess. I don't know.
I think solve is a big ask on a lot of these, so let's say we're done. All right.
We didn't solve the magnet one either, so.
Nope.
We solved it. We said you're going to be a carpenter, but your life is going to be bad everywhere.
Well, oh, okay.
The best solution.
This one's more socially awkward, I think, is what if your hands were always unnaturally moist?
So I guess the obvious thing is just to avoid shaking people's hands, right?
Right. I think you can't give high fives, too, because there's enough contact there. People are going to be like, huh.
There's going to be splash.
Right. It's going to be kind of like a little squelchy sound. It's not going to be great.
You don't want to pick up, like, a lot of glasses or wine glasses.
I think you use, like, exclusive. Actually, I think wine glasses are okay because you can kind of get your fingers wrapped around them. I think you just live off of, like, wine glasses and mugs. Mugs are your friend.
Yeah, anything with a handle.
Yeah. Well, even I think it's still going to be tricky.
I mean, I guess you could just wear gloves the whole time, right?
Oh, no. Are you kidding?
That's going to be really uncomfortable.
Yeah, have your hands ever sweated in gloves?
I mean, is the alternative better?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it's kind of like that question, like, would you rather everyone else smelled bad or that you smelled bad all the time, you know?
Well, so the other problem, too, is that I feel like the only gloves that are going to actually be, like, a reliable way to hide your moist shame is rubber gloves. And then you're the guy who's always wearing rubber gloves. And is that better than just being the guy with moist hands?
If you're a dishwasher, though, and you only interact with people at work.
Yeah. Then you have an excuse.
It's like, my hands aren't moist, they're just wet. I just washed dishes. In fact, they are so fucking clean.
Right. Except your gloves probably smell really bad.
You can probably tell, though. Like, if you shake someone's hand, like, you can tell between if it's water or sweat.
Yeah. Well, okay, we don't actually say that it's sweat. We just say that it's moist.
Yeah, we don't say the source of the moisture.
Oh, is it fucking pure grade H2O? Like, squeeze that shit into a Dasani bottle and sell it on the street?
Straight vodka.
Oh, no! This is what you do. You can do the people with the glasses that make the music with the rims.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're always wetting their hands anyway.
Yeah, you have to wet your hand first to do that.
Right. That's pretty good, actually.
You could be a fucking savant.
Yeah.
Or you could save yourself that little in-between step where they just get their finger a little bit wet.
Right. Well, I guess you probably have to do that, like, mid-song, if it's a long song, so you can not do that, I guess. It's not that impressive, actually.
You could break a record for the longest of that.
Yeah, just keep going. So, okay, here's a question. If you were to do, like... Oh, God, now this is disgusting. All right.
Did you just gross yourself out with your own brain?
I did. Okay, so...
Don't do it to me.
No. If you eat wings, will you slowly wash, like, the wings residue off of your hands with your moisture? If you just, like, rub your hands together, will that eventually just, like... Is it just, like, you always have, like, a wet nap on you? Is that... Because that's not bad, actually. That's actually a pretty decent... I might, like, you know...
You have self-washing hands.
So you're constantly self-sanitizing your hands, but...
I don't think it sanitizes, but it'll at least get, like, stuff off of them, right?
I guess.
Yeah, like, if you're gardening or something and you got dirt on your hands, it can just, like, get off.
Yeah, it just depends on what you get on your hands. If it's grosser than sweat... then it's a good thing. If it's not grosser than sweat, then it's a bad thing.
Right. So most of the time it's a bad thing, but every once in a while.
Well, yeah, we're dancing around the biggest positive of this, and I think we've all been thinking it for the last 5 minutes, is that jerking off is going to be fucking great.
Marcus, I'm not going to lie, I had not thought about that, but as soon as you said that...
I was not thinking about that either.
As soon as you said that, I realized exactly what you were talking about.
Yeah, once I said we're dancing around the intro, I was like, oh, got it.
Oh, no. Oh, well, we all got there now.
Well, I guess that's a good place to end that one.
Well, yeah, we hit the best part about it.
I guess I'll ask the next one. What if you were Gandalf and had to get the ring to Mordor?
First off, you don't give it to a fucking hobbit. You got a world with, like, trolls and orcs and armies and elves and dwarves and rangers and giant spiders and... nasty Ents and all this dire wolves and shit, and it's just like, oh, let me pick the person that's like a tiny human who was already like the weakest thing of its size.
I do have to say, there is something really funny about it. it's part of the rationale there, right, is that hobbits can like sneak around and stuff, so the, you know, they're like, oh yeah, that's sitting with a sneaky hobbit and also like 9 other people.
Yeah, and also this real rambunctious dwarf guy,
right? Like, might have been a slight error in judgment there.
I think the actual reasoning is that hobbits are, like, less prone to getting corrupt from it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but hobbits are way less good at getting there in a fucking timely fashion. So, like, yeah, Frodo probably lasted longer than, you know, Boromir did. But, you know, Boromir would have gotten his ass over to fucking Mordor in less than 3 movies.
I mean, his strides are twice as long.
He did try to steal it after the first movie, which is they were, like, nowhere close to Mordor.
Yeah, but, you know, Frodo was in worse shape than Boromir was by the time he got there.
That's true, too.
Also true.
Also, why didn't fucking Gandalf take it himself? Like, oh, I need someone qualified to, you know, brave the dangers of this world to get to Mordor.
He was, like, scared of it. He was scared to touch it.
He's literally the magic dude. Like, just get over it.
He would always, like, put a cloth over it when he wanted to handle it.
Yeah, why don't you just put a cloth in his fucking bag and just go? Sorry. If I was Gandalf and I had to get through to Mordor, I would just take it. I would just be like, okay, this is on me.
Also, the thing that everyone always says is that they should have just, like, used the eagles to get there. Because they had giant eagles at the end.
There's an explanation for the no eagles thing, but I cannot for the life of me remember what it was.
Here's the explanation. There's a giant eye looking at everything, and it'll see the eagles, and they'll get shot down.
I guess they had the flying evil things, too.
Yeah, and yeah, the Nazgûls.
Yeah, Nazgûl. So the answer is we don't know. We don't have an answer.
Yeah, we don't have an answer. I guess give it to a hobbit.
No, we gotta do a little better than this guy. What you said a while ago stuck with me is that, you know, they gave it to the hobbits because they're sneaky.
Mm-hmm.
Here's where that's fucked. The ring makes you invisible. Like, you are getting a stealth bonus of like +10. You do not need to have a nat +4 in stealth to get good rolls.
But every time you put it on, the eye sees you, right?
Yeah, but like once you're in Mordor, you just fucking sneak, like kill an orc, steal the armor, and go. I mean, like, there's so many downsides to having a hobbit do it. That like just any warrior, Aragorn could have done it. He was pretty pure-hearted. The ring didn't bother him none. Legolas could have done it. Gimli could have done it. Anyone literally in that party except for Frodo.
Except for apparently Boromir.
Yeah, but I mean, like, again, Boromir might have gotten it done. No one gave him a chance. Because, like, people kept telling him he was, like, this shit monster for wanting to take over the ring, and that's what he turned into. He's a product of his society.
It was peer pressure. Well, no, but...
I'm hashtag Team Boromir.
All right, let's roll on. What if there was actually a pot of gold at the end of every rainbow?
So, I guess, like, what defines... Because a rainbow happens whenever it rains, it's like a refraction of light.
So, one of the things I'm thinking of is, like, you know when you have, like, a sprinkler and the sun hits just right, you get a rainbow?
So you can, like, create your own rainbow?
Yeah, but I feel like that the scale of the rainbow is going to determine the size of the pot of gold. So, like, if you do that, where you, like, get a sprinkler and get some light in there, there's going to be, like, a chipped, dingy gold coin and that's it.
Yeah, like, it's like a penny. It's a halfpenny. A little bit of an older one, but where are you going to cash it in?
Right, yeah.
I mean, you have to determine how much it's worth, because if it's worth, like, a decent amount, then there's going to be, like, rainbow farms. People are going to try to, like, harvest this stuff.
Well, here's the question. If you just influx the world with a whole bunch of gold, like, it's just going to become, you know, the value is going to descale.
That's true. Yeah,
that's true.
Now, gold is good for electronics, so, you know, your electronics can get, like, marginally better, but I think the price will just come down and that'll be it.
Gold's like...
Here's what...
Oh, go ahead, yeah.
Yeah, so here's what I thought of, is rainbows, more often than not, from where you're looking at them, don't go end to end. Both ends are not on the ground. One end is way up in the sky where it kind of just fades into a cloud. There's a pot of gold on both sides, right? So it's going to be a pot of gold that materializes, like, 45 miles above the earth.
And fall down
to the earth. Falls down.
Oh, so this is actually a very hazardous situation, huh?
So it's going to be gold storms.
Yeah, it's going to be gold storms. I guess everyone who sees the rainbow generates, like, because if you look at a rainbow... And then someone else, like, half a mile away looks at the rainbow. You're both seeing a rainbow, but because of the refraction, it's got to be, like, basically two different rainbows, right?
Yeah. The definition of a rainbow is kind of nebulous.
So every person who sees the rainbow is going to generate a pot of gold fairly, you know, probably pretty close to each other or in a smaller range. And it's just going to be, like, a hailstorm of iron kettle pots full of gold.
This is going to be, yeah, it's going to get pretty bad. Hey, we made an apocalypse, guys. It always happens.
The first person to see the rainbow has to, like, yell to everyone else to shut their eyes.
Get the down. Beacons are lit!
And definitely, whatever you do, don't look up. That just makes the problem worse.
Yeah. Wait, where? Wait, don't!
No!
No!
Well, that's unfortunate. Mm-hmm. All right, next one. What if your heart only beat to the rhythm of music?
This one is interesting to me for one very specific reason.
Okay, tell me what this reason. This one did not make sense to me. So tell me how you think this works.
So obviously, in this situation, you're always listening to music, right? And you're generally listening to music that is you know, whatever your, like, general resting heart rate is. For some people, that's going to be very difficult because, like, example, for me, I do distance running. My resting heart rate is down around 40. I don't think there's a lot of good music at 40 beats per minute.
Very slow.
Yeah, it's not great. So, I would have some difficulties there, but here's the thing. Your heart beats faster for a reason. It needs to get blood to your muscles and brain and stuff in situations where you need more blood flowing. So that means that in those situations, you need to yourself regulate your heartbeat by switching to a faster song.
Right. So yeah, I can see that. You have to have a couple playlists queued up.
Right. And yet, I think you probably, just for, like, the safety of your heart, need to, like, ramp it up. So you have to almost, you're basically going to be like a DJ for your heart.
That's cool.
Right? Like, that's actually cool. Pretty fun, yeah?
Well, can you, so can you get a cardio workout just by listening to some sick beats? Like, I just throw on my Iron Maiden playlist and like, now I'm getting like, I can get a distance running from the comfort of my couch.
I guess that would technically work,
that's
right?
True. The one downside is that it's possible that someone could slip in some death metal and kill you. So that's not great.
Well, your phone could also run out of battery and kill you.
That's also, yeah. Yeah. That's very true.
I mean, you don't really need to work out your cardio anyway, because like it's totally reliant on the music.
What if the DJ waits too long to drop the beat at the club?
You're like, oh god, oh no.
Oh god!
Drop it!
Just drop it!
Alright, so that was kind of it. I guess there wasn't a whole lot there, but I thought it was cool. Anyway.
Yeah, that one has a very easy to just die.
I mean, you could, like, manipulate it to, like, your advantage in certain situations, right?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah, I mean, you can slow or increase your heart rate, like, to exercise and to do stuff like that, but, I mean, that's one of the things our body's pretty good at, is to give you as much heart pumping as you need to get all the blood as it needs to go places.
I guess, yeah, your body knows when to do it.
Alright, I like this one. What if Subway sold a $5 foot long of anything?
So this actually gets very similar to the gold one in one respect, and then I feel like any material that is valuable suddenly is no longer valuable.
Right.
Except for, like, things of intrinsic value.
Right, yeah.
Like, money doesn't actually have value, but there are other things that do.
Yeah, can I get a $5 foot long of $5 bills, please?
Right, exactly.
And loop it right around.
Which I guess since you can do that, everything loses value, because you can just convert your $5 foot long of $5 into $5 foot longs of anything else.
But then, like, if you need something specific that's expensive, I can't really think of an example right now, but, like, I don't know, if you need, like, a certain type of metal or something to build something.
Mm-hmm.
You just
like, the shit they put in iPhones that they make all these countries mine, and it's horrible.
Diamonds.
Yeah. Diamonds are good.
Oh, no, that was, okay, anyway.
Sorry, I thought you were helping me out by switching the conversation to be like, how about diamonds?
It was in fact just an incredibly stupid joke. Par for the course.
Yeah, Ben, I feel like every episode you make one joke and you're like, that was a stupid joke.
Oh yeah, that's every day of my life I do that. So this is just, you know, a window into my soul, apparently.
My favorite was me saying bidet and then you said, and bidet to you.
I'm actually not gonna lie, I actually stole that one from Scrubs.
Oh, okay.
gotta cite sources.
Yeah, give them credit.
Yep.
Okay, back to the thing at hand. There's one regulating factor here. Subways are going to be very, very busy, obviously.
Oh. Yes.
So the line is going to be very, very long. And what are you going to want to get after that long, long line wait? You're going to want to get a fucking sandwich. You're going to want that $5 foot long sub sandwich.
I want that chicken teriyaki, man.
Like, if that, because they're not going to change their signs. It's going to be Subway sandwich signs. You're going to have been staring at this teriyaki melt for hours.
You're going to smell that fake ass bread smell. What is that smell in Subway, by the way? That's not what bread smells like. Like, right? Like,
that is true. That is not what
it's
bread,
not what bread smells like. It's their bread, but that's not how bread smells.
Wait, so you guys are saying that you would get, like, their normal sandwiches? You wouldn't upgrade the food at all?
I mean, I might, yeah. I could get, like, a foot long.
I mean, there's not many foods that are good in a 5 foot or 1 foot size.
A foot long lobster roll would be pretty good.
I don't know if I could eat a 1 foot lobster roll, though. Even a 1 foot burrito is a pretty daunting task.
What if you ask, okay, so here's a question. What if you ask for a 1 foot turkey leg? Are turkey legs 1 foot long? Are there turkey legs that big?
Yeah, what if you ask for like a 1 foot ant?
I think you get 1 foot worth of whatever it is. So you would get 1 foot of a, you know, turkey leg. I don't know how it works the other way. Like if you ask for a 1 foot blue whale, maybe just get a little baby blue whale. That would be super sweet.
No, it'd be chopped up.
Probably. Yeah, it'd be like a 10 of meat.
If you get a foot long of chicken, you don't get a whole chicken.
Fair point.
Do not ask for fruit by the foot. It's not worth it.
You just get a bunch of fruit. And you're like, aww, I want it to ruin my body instead.
If you do want a foot of bananas, and you very carefully don't actually just get a one banana fruit by the foot, because that's a very easy mistake to make for the anything artisan, apparently, is now what works at Subway.
Yeah, the warlock behind the counter takes your order and pulls it from the aether.
Yeah, unspools it from their miraculous machine.
It's just like a 3D printer with just like a spool of just like, I don't know, mystical energy.
Oh my god, that's what the smell at Subway is. Everything.
It's the smell of everything combined. And then not kept in a particularly refrigerated area.
Right.
I mean, based on everything, that's a pretty good smell. If that's... Based on how many bad things there are in the world?
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, it's just the smell of everything combined under a shitty heat lamp. But yeah, so, you know, $5 footlong is not the only way to spend your money. So here's some other ideas for you.
The holidays are great, but you can't enjoy them while spending agonizing hours carefully wrapping gift after gift. We want to help you take back your holidays with our newest product, the Velociwrapper. This exciting new product has just one purpose, to help you wrap at high velocity. Our research studies have shown that the largest factor limiting wrapping speed is the number of hands a person has to hold things in place while wrapping. The Velociwrapper ups your paper holding capacity by 50% with our patented Velociwrapper Claw Shoe. This shoe has a built-in claw that can be used to cut, hold, and maim your wrapping paper as required, leaving your hands free to get the work done quickly. Stop living in the Jurassic period and join us in the modern age with Velociwrapper.
Wait, what? Is this an ad? Ben? Argus? Are you guys there? I mean, I wasn't really expecting this. Okay, I guess I'm in an ad read. What should I promote? I don't really have anything to promote. You're already listening to this podcast. So I guess listen to Absurd Hypotheticals. Yay!
What happens to a barbarian when it becomes too weak to crush his enemies? When he needs to wear thick glasses just to be able to see them driven before him, and when his hearing fails to the point that when his enemy's women lament, all he can do is say, "What? You're going to have to speak up!" Coming soon to a theater near you, Conan the Octogenarian. The Chicago Tribune calls it unbelievable that this movie was made. The Atlantic says, "Did they just make this for the pun? Really? That's the only thing that makes sense." Calvin, age 84, from Lazy Oak Retirement Facility, says, "It's great to get some representation in summer movies. Also, what was your name again? I'm sorry, you're going to have to speak up." Conan the Octogenarian, coming soon.
All right, welcome back. It's time to blitz through some more questions. And our first one's going to be fun. It's, what if you had a random superpower? And the way we are determining this is we're going to the Superpower Wiki, which has every superpower and made-up superpower and description of superpowers on it, and I'm going to hit random page. And we're each going to take a turn to say what we would do with our superpower. Ben, why don't you go first?
All right, okay. Well, I think we should all wait to click it until it's actually our turn so we get the in-the-moment reaction is very important.
Yes, I agree.
All right, so I will go first. I got ink magic. Power to utilize ink-related magic.
That's not too bad. Could be useful.
All right, Ben, what are you going to do with that, huh? What's your capabilities?
So, first, very importantly, it's also called Melionokinetic Magic / Witchcraft / Wizardry, which I did not pronounce correctly, but whatever. Who's going to call me out on it? It's magic. So you can magically manipulate ink? Is that useful at all?
Can you, like, turn things you draw into...
I guess you can still manipulate it while it's when it's dry, right? You could make it wet.
I guess. Yeah.
Is it actually just ink mat? Yeah. Okay, I'm on the page for the Teen Titans guy.
Yeah, the Teen Titans guy is the one I'm looking at right now. Brush a gun. Really? Really, guys?
Brush a gun.
Brush a gun.
Oh, wait. Oh, no. It's Brush Shogun. Oh, like Shogun, but Brush. Okay, that actually is pretty clever.
Cooler.
Yeah, I'm actually happier with that now. All right.
Brush Shogun.
Oh, that was not good. Okay. Yeah, man. Like, I don't know.
Really, the only thing that uses ink are pens.
I mean, I could be like the best Banksy ever.
You could, like, ruin people's shirts, like, when right before their important interviews. Like, you could follow the heroes around, and, like, when they have to do their day job stuff, and they're, like, going up to the news station to get a reporter job, and you're just like, and you go...
Oh god, under associations on this page, there is one that's called tattoo manipulation, which, oh god, that's a very bad thought.
I think that's a cool power. That's like, you'd be like Maui from Moana. I just watched that today, where all his tattoos are moving around.
What I'm seeing in my mind is basically the scene in one of the X-Men movies when Magneto pulls the metal out of the guy's blood.
Oh, yeah, no, that's worse.
It's not as good.
Oh, wait, no, is it manipulating other people's tattoos and, like, you can change what they are? So, like, some guy walks by, he's got, like, this big old mom tattoo, and you're just like, Dad, it's a dad tattoo now. And he goes home, and his mom's like, oh, no! And he's like, I can explain?
Actually, you could probably make some pretty good money if you, like, were a tattoo alterer, right?
Yeah, a lot of people have they, like, regret their tattoos.
Yeah, and you could, like, just change that or, like, move it, like, a very fine line down your back so it's really hard to see or something.
Do you morally, if you... I have this ability to manipulate tattoos, and someone comes in with their ex-girlfriend's name, and they ask you to update it to their current girlfriend's name. Can you in good conscience do that? Or is it just like, dude, you're making the same mistake again?
If you're walking by someone, and you see they have a tattoo that says no regrets, do you change it for them just like as you walk by out of the kindness of your heart?
You change it to no rag rats.
No rugrats.
No rugrats.
No rugrats.
All right, Chris, what's your superpower?
Okay, let's see. Mine is primordial embodiment.
That sounds better than mine.
The ability to become the primordial embodiment of a concept or entity. That's actually a really cool superpower.
That is pretty cool.
I can just become anything, I guess.
You can become like the fieriest fire or like the doggiest dog?
I guess so.
Wait, it's primordial embodiment?
Yeah, primordial embodiment.
All right, I'm looking this up on Superpower Wiki. Interesting.
I spelt that all sorts of wrong. Hold
on. Oh, wait a minute. Under limitations, users only have control of their concept. So it's one concept that you are the embodiment of.
What do you mean? I don't know what that means.
So like the example here is like hope. You are the embodiment of hope. That's not necessarily you. So what do you embody personally?
Oh, so it'd be like
what concept.
Okay. I don't know. I can't really. What do you think I embody?
Chris, this is a big personal choice for Chris.
This is very personal.
It's not something I choose, though. It's just like what I am to other people, right? What I embody.
What do the people in your life need more than anything?
What do they need?
Yeah, on an emotional level.
They need French fries.
I am the primordial fry. Long before Napoleon took over France, I was there.
Specifically sweet potato French fries, because those are way better.
Ooh, they are way better.
So I'd just be like a giant sweet potato, I guess.
All hail the almighty sweet potato.
Behold how he is like a potato, but tastes better. And he's orangish.
Wait, no, hold on. Yeet potato. We're done. All right, Marcus, what's your superpower?
I'm very excited. Ooh, I have magic ball projection.
I'm sorry. I'm apparently 12.
The magic ball's projection's like, yo, girl, you up? Because look at my nuts.
Oh, no.
I like this. The ability to project balls spheres of magical energy.
Yeah,
subpower
sure.
Of magic attacks. I'm sorry. Variation of ball projection. So it's not just ball projection. I have magic ball projection.
I mean, this is right up your alley, Marcus, because this is from Zelda.
Exactly. I see the little Zelda guy picture here. So obviously, I would only use my balls to throw them at dudes with swords that would suddenly come back to me and we play a good game of orb volleyball. But I think I could do other stuff. I think I would be very good at bowling. I think I could just magic orb my ball down the lane and just disintegrate the pins. And I think that's an automatic perfect game because the machine is going to go and try to pick up the pins and they're not going to be there. So it's going to set empty and it's come up. And then I can just throw a regular bowling ball like a gutter ball and save up my magic power for later when I need to show all these girls my balls at 2 a.m. It's like, yo, girl, you want to, I just rolled a perfect game, if you know what I mean. And they'll be like, I don't get the innuendo. And you're like, oh no, actually I'm just pretty good at bowling. I want to do one more. Let's get a good one going.
Yeah, I feel like mine wasn't funny enough. Mine was just cool.
The plant pillar projection. The ability to project pillars of plant matter. Subpower of plant attacks. Variation of organic pillar projection. Oh no. I'm going to go ahead and click organic pillar projection.
Wait. Oh god. I just got artistic life force imprisonment. I can absorb and or imprison the life force of anything or anyone into art.
Oh, God, that's like a fate worse than death type thing.
Yep.
I got another cool one. I got dimensional interaction. I can interact with any dimension without having to enter them.
All right, we're done. I got lust magic, so...
I'm going to briefly segue back to, so we did, just to check out this page really quickly, I'll do one before we started. I think we did share very quickly that the first one I got was Sirenia Physiology, which is the power to use the abilities of Sirenians. What is a Sirenian? Sirenian, you might ask, aside from very hard to pronounce.
Yeah, Ben, can you tell me that word one more time? Just give it to me clear. A fresh take.
Sirenian.
Now say it like a little more gravelly.
Sirenian.
Perfect.
Nailed it.
I have my new text noise.
Sirenians, by the way, are things such as dugongs and manatees. So I would have all the powers of dugongs and manatees.
You can get hit by boats.
Yep. It's about it.
You have the ability to float pretty close to the surface, but slightly unseen.
You're like Aquaman, but worse.
My favorite about this page, by the way, still, is that one of the applications listed is speed swimming, and the only limitation listed is Sirenians aren't particularly fast or agile swimmers. So...
Yeah, but dog, you can swim pretty fast, but you're not going to be very good at it.
Yeah.
I think we're morphing into a new podcast. I think we have to move on.
Yeah.
What if emojis were the only form of communication?
I think this is a good thing, actually.
Things will be more concise, maybe?
Well, I feel like a lot of times you spend a lot of time... well, that was a very poor way to say that. You frequently will spend a lot of your time trying to figure out what someone is actually, like, saying when they tell you something. In like an email or a text or something, you know? You have to sort of like parse the hidden meaning of the words. There's a lot less room for nuance in emoji. You have to be a lot more direct.
Yeah, I mean, my problem with the English language was always that it was way too precise. Like, when you said words, they always had just one meaning and everyone knew what it was.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, the whole... There was no point in being verbose because it was just obvious.
I mean, there are a lot of emojis, so like, you could probably say a lot of stuff pretty easily.
How would names work in this situation?
Oh, you'd have to pick your emojis.
But I think it would have to be a series of emojis, right?
Yeah, you have to pick yourself a series of emojis. I guess there would be one emoji for like your name.
Would you just like create your emoji?
So like, yeah, so maybe there's a emoji for, I see a silhouette of a person speaking. So maybe that's like this is the name signifier, and then you pick the emojis that define you the most.
Or things that rhyme with you.
Well, but what is rhyming? Everything is emojis. Brain explodes.
I guess, is there a language?
Rhyming and emojis is like when you have the princess with light skin and the princess with dark skin. That's an emoji rhyme.
Also, nature documentary is going to be fucking hilarious because it'll be like a picture of a turtle. Like, it'll be showing a turtle and it'll be like the subtitle will just be an emoji of a turtle.
That's really good.
It would just be like, oh yeah, a giant squid will be like emoji of a squid and then just like, I don't know, an elephant, like, trying to combine them and be like, this is a big squid.
I mean, there wouldn't... So people wouldn't talk, right? That's part of this.
Yeah, you'd have to, like, just have, like... You know, it'd show people emojis on your phone, I guess.
I guess so.
Matt, there's... When did they make so many fucking emojis?
I don't know. People like emojis. Why, do you have a list up right now?
I mean, I'm looking through them on my phone, and it used to be like there'd be, like, a page of faces and then, like, some animals... But now it's like, each one has like 14 fucking pages. It's like, there's like three different lizard emojis. There's like four horses I can pick, three lizards. Oh, this one's a unicorn. But like, there's a lot.
It's inflation, man. Inflation happens. I don't know.
I don't need a ram, a sheep, a goat, and a pig emoji. Like, I'm going to be talking at best about farms.
My God, what if this is actually going to happen and this is how they're preparing us? They're rolling out all these new, more specific emojis.
They know something we don't.
Mm-hmm. Because you're right. Why would you need ram, sheep, goat? Unless you needed to be able to distinguish ram, sheep, and goats.
This is a real slow and shitty version of Rosetta Stone.
Yes.
Can every language be translated via emojis? So, like, what if instead of everyone learning all these languages, everyone just learned their native language plus emojis?
That's an idea right there. I think it's a bad one, but it is an idea.
Because, like, English has... the alphabet, but like Chinese doesn't have an alphabet. They just have a separate character for every word. So that's basically emojis, right?
Did China just beat us to it by like hundreds and hundreds of years?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't really work out so well because they don't use it either. They use a phonetic alphabet.
So I guess the answer is it really sucks and you'll find a new way around it.
So the answer is I tried it, didn't work out so great.
Yeah.
Here's another thing that's probably not going to work out great for you. What if pigeons followed you everywhere?
Like every single place. Like yeah. The bathroom.
If you close the door on them, what do they do?
They'd find a way.
You just got to be fast. Like, I feel like there's only going to be one or two in front of you.
Yeah. So I guess one nice thing is that you can carry bread around without any concerns. It's going to follow you anyway. So just keep your bread out.
Maybe if you had enough foyers, you could reduce the number enough. Like, till it's just like maybe one or two make it through.
Just have 10 foyers.
Yeah. It's like when you have to go in like a clean room environment and like a lab and you go through like a bunch of, you know, sealed doors.
Yeah. And you have to have something there to attract the pigeons. Like, you got to put like some loose French fries in foyers, like 3 to 5.
Yeah.
And that's going to take off all the hungry pigeons. And then like, if one pigeon's not so hungry, cause he's in the heat, you have like a sexy pigeon in like, you know, foyer number 6. And I think that covers all the needs of pigeons. So it's French fries and sex. So, I mean, I think that's just about all you need to get rid of all the pigeons. So maybe not the worst.
You still got to leave at some point, though. You're always going to get more pigeons.
And plus, I guess on your way out, like that pigeon in foyer 6 is going to have such a fucking smug look on his face, like leaving. It's like, yeah, you got rid of me, but like I had a much better time than you did in there.
I like the image of like if you get on a plane to fly somewhere, then there's just like a swarm of pigeons flying behind you. Flying behind the plane?
I don't think that works, because planes, last time I checked, are real fast.
So pigeons would still follow you, though, so eventually they would get there.
Oh, God. What if one snuck in there with you? That would be a miserable flight.
Yeah, they would get into the plane, too.
What was that? I saw a picture on the news of somebody had, like, some biologist person went on a flight, and they booked, like, literally the entire center aisle. Not, like, one center aisle, like, all the center aisles for, like, half the plane, and it was all hawks.
Oh my God.
Okay.
And I'm just like, that's either the coolest flight if they're not super loud, or the worst flight in the fucking world.
Right. And they were just flying like coach, right?
Yeah, they're just flying coach. Like,
oh my God.
Because what else are you going to do with them? Because they need to fly in a...
like a pressurized...
A pressurized and climate-controlled environment. That's the word I'm looking for. And that's not the luggage area. So, and they don't make extra planes for animals. So it's just like, you just... buy out the plane.
Oh my God.
I think they do it with other shit too. Like, I think they do it with bees. I think there's bees too that can go on international flights like that.
But bees you can contain.
Can you? Can you really?
You have a container of bees. You can't have a container of hawks.
Damn, I can't find it over this one. Oh my God. There's bees that made a nest on a plane wing and the plane was delayed because there was thousands of bees on the plane wing.
That is terrifying.
That is absolutely terrifying.
How have they not made a movie about that yet?
I mean, snakes is better, right?
Snakes is definitely better.
I don't think snakes are better.
Well, snakes are stealthier than bees. Bees on a plane is a very short movie.
Yeah, but bees are everywhere.
That movie's like 5 minutes long. Everyone gets stung and dies.
I also feel like bees make a way worse movie animal. Like, they just kind of buzz at you and then you just kind of pan away. And it takes like a lot of bee stings, so... There's only one way that bees can kill. Like, a snake can strangle, a snake can bite, a snake can, like, I don't know, jump in your mouth and go down your throat and kill you, like, alien style.
Bees can go, like, in your nose and in your ears.
But still just, I mean, I guess there's only one way you can be approached by a bee. There's lots of ways to be approached by a snake, or, like, stumble upon a snake.
Yeah, bees only approach loudly and fairly slowly.
Right. The bee is a very fair creature.
Yeah, the bee lets you know what's up before it gets you.
Yeah. It's like, yo, I'm stinging you.
Wasn't this about pigeons?
It was about pigeons.
Yeah, we kind of got far away from pigeons.
Away from pigeons.
Wow, we really drifted that one, guys.
All right, we're going to circle back for one last thing on pigeons. I think my last question with pigeons is, can you ever eat French fries again?
No.
Nope.
Well, you can eat about half of them. I think you basically, if you're going to eat French fries, you have to throw half of them over your shoulder as an offering and then run while shoving the rest into your mouth.
And then go through your 10 foyers.
Right.
Yeah, you're just charging through your foyers like a madman, like spilling fries.
Yeah, fries flying like, behind you.
Like you slam the last door, like your back, you slide down against the back of the door, and you're just like, and you look down, and you have like 4 French fries.
Okay, I guess I'll ask the next one. What if nobody ever needed sleep, so you like aren't tired, and you never get tired?
Can you still choose to sleep?
I think you can still choose to sleep if you want. Which is the best scenario.
Right.
Would you sleep if you weren't tired, though?
Well, so I feel like it becomes a power play at some point, right?
Power play?
Like if you were just like sleeping in the middle of the day, that's just like a sign of just like how like powerful how wealthy and you are. Yeah. Like you can just you don't have no need to do this and you're deciding to do nothing. Literally nothing for an extended period of time.
I mean, I was thinking like if you're on a flight and you don't wanna you're like bored on the flight, you can just sleep and then you'll be awake
also
in
that.
A few hours and the flight will be over.
Could you keep yourself occupied? Could you keep yourself busy for 24 hours every day?
I think I could.
I could.
But like legitimately like occupied, like, I mean, we do a lot of stuff, but like the actual hours we spend on all the stuff that we do, isn't that many? Like,
I mean, I think if this happened to everyone, then yes, I could occupy myself. If it was only me, then I don't know, because everyone else would be asleep, but.
Podcasts would probably get a lot more popular.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about like how much like. There's this huge list of TV shows I say I'm going to watch, you know, someday. If I have an extra, you know, 8 hours of productive time a day, that's a lot of time you can put into
it
that.
It is a lot of time.
Yeah.
Someday I'll finally finish One Piece, the anime series.
No, you won't. That's actually impossible.
I'm getting close, Ben. I'm getting fucking close, I think. I don't know. I'm episode, like, 650.
That is...
It's fucking... It's ridiculous.
That is the number I would have said as a joke to say how hilariously long it is, not realizing it was actually accurate.
No, it's, like, way past that. Like, I'm not even, like, in the latest season, and the seasons are, like, 80 episodes.
Jesus, that is absurd.
But here's the thing about watching it. It's not like I'm watching 720-minute episodes. I literally skip ahead to, like... 6.5 minutes in before the new content starts, the rest is just the intro and like the preview stuff, and like the last 4 minutes are cut off, and that's like just 10 minutes in between, and you don't even have to watch all of that.
Why are you
so really it cuts it down to like 6 minutes of episode content per episode.
Why
which
are
is...
you doing this to yourself?
Well, because now I'm an adult, I can skip only up to the 6 minutes and then it's fine and entertaining.
Fair enough. All right,
what else could we do if we didn't have to sleep? Repurpose the bedroom. Everyone would have a new room in the house.
I feel like work schedules change.
Yeah, I think we have to get away from just, like, you work as much as you can. Like, because if you're not tired, you could work for, like, 16... You could work for 24 hours straight, mm-hmm. and you could just get lunches. Like, if you spend a week 24 hours a day at your job, the amount of shit you would get done would be fucking ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I don't think you have, like, the mental capacity to do that. Even if you're not tired,
well, but
you're still
says,
not going to want to do
It says you
that.
Have peak focus at all times on the question.
Peak focus, but yeah... Even when I'm, like, refreshed, like, right when I wake up, I don't want to work all the time.
I guess that's true, yeah.
Have you ever had a productive hour, and, like, it's so productive, you're almost, like, a little bit scared about it?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you're taken aback by, like when you finally dig in at work, and you're like, I'm gonna, like, get this thing that's been hanging on for, like, a week, and then you sit, and you just, like, do that, and, like, all the shit you were gonna do that whole week in, like, 2 hours, and you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Who am I? Should I be doing this all the time? Can people achieve this on like the regular? And you just kind of like, it's like you start flying and then suddenly like you're way too high. You're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Let me manage expectations here.
I have to slack off a little before anyone starts expecting this.
I'm happy you agreed with my getting too productive because that, like, I thought that was just me.
Nope. I think everyone does that.
I don't think we'd be too productive with the next question, which is, what if you always felt like you were being tickled?
That would just suck.
So you never get used to it? Like, you don't, like...
No. I don't... I feel like... No.
You cannot get used to it, ever. Like, I don't know what you guys' sibling situation is.
Die, right?
I feel like I feel like you would die.
You wouldn't be able to do anything.
Did they do this in Guantanamo Bay as when they couldn't do the waterboarding anymore?
Oh, my God. That is, for some reason, like, seems worse to me than waterboarding.
Yeah! It's like, tickle torture! And you're like, oh, God. No.
It's like a weird, like, it makes you happy, sort of.
No, the thing is, like, when you're tickled longer than it's funny and shocking and entertaining, like, when you're actually just, like, in the this is not fun mode, it is super fucking frustrating.
Yeah.
Because, like, your whole body spasms and you're like, stop it.
But you're like, laughing.
Damn it. Well, you do stop laughing after a minute.
I've never gotten tickled long enough to stop laughing.
Did you have older siblings?
I do.
They were nicer than my older siblings. No, there's definitely like a very quick point that comes up where you're just like, no, that is now it's no longer okay that I'm getting tickled.
I mean, I guess you just have to force yourself to like go outside and do stuff and like just accept that people are going to be looking at you. But like, you're going to need to eat.
Can you eat?
I think if you really try, you'd be able to eat.
The bigger one is like, can you drink something without like breathing in water?
I think if you tried really hard, you'd be able to get at least some down.
Yeah.
What if you have, like, what if you just Novocaine your body?
I mean, I don't think that would help based on the premise of this question. You always feel it.
Well, let's say it's the nerve endings that you can numb. If you can numb your body, you can maybe make it through the day.
Okay, so you have a numb body. Can you function with a numb body?
People do it.
Wasn't that the villain in one of the James Bond movies? A not particularly good one?
They definitely played into the no pain one, which is like one of those things where, like, for like the first blush when you're like as a kid, you're like, oh, that's so cool. And then like the second you're an adult, you realize like, oh man, that's really gonna be suckish.
That's gonna be really unfortunate. You're gonna like nick yourself with a knife and then bleed out 7 hours later, really embarrassingly.
Well, that's exactly what it is. Is they have to like, you know, check themselves in the shower and everything, but. Now we're in weird, depressing territory, so yep. This one is not... This is a question about being tickled, this has gone yeah, dark very places. Dark.
Pretty dark.
What if you had to end every conversation with an insult, fuckbag?
You suck.
You guys both got there before I could. I'm very sad. Motherfuckers.
That's right, Ben, you're just fucking slow.
Yeah.
That one was already an insult, so I don't know if I have to end it with another insult.
Yeah, that's actually a good question. You have to double up if you're actually trying to insult someone.
You could hide your insults, then.
What if you just decide, like... As a joker, you're saying, like, hi, asshole, every time you see someone.
That's actually pretty close to my normal canter, so, I mean, I don't know if people would notice if I had this problem.
I would not notice for a while with you, Marcus. Not gonna lie.
Yeah, that's how you know you've known people too long, is when it's just like, you can just greet each other, which is like, hey, numbnuts, and it's like, sup, bitch, and it's like, alright, we're just doing this.
How insulting does it have to be?
I mean, the person has to be insulted.
Right. But can he just be, like, a little insulted?
I guess so.
Can you just be like, hey, man, how's it going? And by the way, that shirt's a little too baggy for you.
Do I consider that an insult?
You think that's an insult?
I don't know if I consider that an insult. That's just, like, constructive feedback.
Fair enough. Okay, so what about I gotta get a little rawer. A little more rough there.
Yeah, like we'll keep the shirt is baggy is the problem.
Yeah, the shirt is baggy. So how do we?
So our first level is, oh hey, your shirt's a little baggy, man. Is not that's not good enough for the insult line.
I got one. All right. Hey man, it's been a while since I've seen you, and by the way, you look like you're in a circus tent right now.
That's a little more.
Yeah, that's
insulty.
Pretty good.
That's pretty good.
That goes like he's like, but that could be almost construed as a compliment because he could be like, oh maybe I lost a bit of weight. So maybe you have to find things that are negative one way and positive the other.
Right, it's all about, like, it's about, like, very backhanded compliments. It's four-handed insults. Is that a thing? It is now.
Yeah, like, you have to like, be very careful with your phrases. But, like, you can't say, hey, man, like, good seeing you. You know, your shirt looks like you dressed yourself blind this morning. Then it's like, oh, I get it, my shirt sucks.
Right.
But you could be like, hey, man, it's been a while since I've seen you. It looks like a blind man dressed you, but he was doing the best he could. And then it can be like, oh, maybe it's a pretty fashionable blind guy. Because yeah. you can twist that in your mind to be like,
What if you ask a slightly insulting question of them? Like, have you ever noticed
then you get a slightly insulting answer.
Oh, there you go. You ever noticed that one of your eyes is way bigger than the other one?
God, no, I hate... That is the fucking... You have to watch that. Because if you get either a compliment or, like... a negative comment from a stranger on the street, that sticks with you for the rest of your goddamn
life.
That's true.
They don't know you. They're not... They're just a random person.
I'm still trying to get over when my dentist said I had big teeth. Like, what the fuck?
What does that mean?
And he's an expert.
What does that mean?
He said it, like, three times. He's in my mouth, like, doing shit, and he's like, wow, you got really big teeth back here. And I'm like, uh-huh.
Like, as a good thing or as a bad thing?
As, like, just a neutral thing. And then, like... You know, the attendant hygienist, I think is what they call him, came in and she's like doing stuff. He's like, yeah, look like that's like back there is pretty big. And she's like, yeah, those are big. And I was like, what the fuck? Like this, I can't say anything back. I can't be like, is that good, bad, what?
I mean, I think what you say back at the time is something like that.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Yeah.
But then I was afterwards and like I made the comment. I'm like, you know, jokingly because the attendant had left and I was like. The guy's basically like Little Red Riding Hood, you know, my, what big teeth you have. And she's like, well, they are big.
And you know, like, you know what they say about guys with big teeth? Because I don't.
And I'd almost gotten over it when I did that joke. And then she's like, well, they are big. And I'm like, something was way back on square one where I was like, what's wrong with my teeth? Why is my mouth so bad?
Well, they are abnormally big.
It's actually dangerous how large your teeth are.
It's like, I get to eat like bigger nuts than other people. Like, I don't know what I get to do with these.
You are the human nutcracker.
They better not bill me more. I gotta check that there's not like an upcharge on my dentistry bill.
They bill you based on the surface area of your teeth.
Yeah, it's per square foot, actually.
Yeah, we did some brushing, but, like, that one tooth was, like, twice the surface area of everybody else's mouth, so we had to, like, charge you, like, quadruple.
Yeah.
All right, what's next?
If you were in a horror movie with all the classic tropes, how would you survive?
I mean, I feel like just saying just leave is too easy, right? Like, don't be in a situation.
Depends on because there's a lot of different subsets of horror movies, right?
Yeah. Am I allowed to say just be the white dude in the movie?
But hold on. You gotta be really careful. Because if you're the white jock.
Yeah, if you're the jock, you die.
Yeah.
The white dude with the quiet but sexy girlfriend.
You have to be the innocent girl. The innocent girl always lives.
Yeah, but the worst shit happens to her, too.
That's true.
Other than dying.
Also, if it's me, how would I survive a horror movie? I would be tough-pressed to change myself into the hot girl character in time before this Frankenstein monster comes and eats my brains.
Marcus, you can do anything you put your mind to, and I believe that.
I mean, I can do anything I put my mind to, but I can't do anything I put my mind to in any time frame I'd like.
I mean, you have to improvise. Just MacGyver it. Look for, like, anything that looks like a wig. Just stuff your shirt.
You can do improvising, but human beings are very good at spotting fake.
But not monsters. Not horror monsters.
Most of them have very bad eyesight, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's not about what the monster sees me as. It's about what the audience sees me as. Because I have to. You have to become that character.
That's true. Yeah. That's a good point.
Could you become... I think it's easier to become, like, the best buddy character who dies, like, last.
But is that really better? Like, if you... Okay, if you're...
No, you die last, but you have to make a switch. So, once you're down to, like, the last three, and, like, the monster's coming at you from the hallway, and, like, you were typically do your scene, we're like, no, buddy, I'll hold the door, I'm gonna, you know, keep this door closed, even though it's futile. Instead, you grab your buddy main character and just fucking toss him to the monster. And now you, by default, are the male lead.
So you play by all the tropes until the very, very end.
Right, in which case you stab your friend in the back, and you're like, I don't give a fuck, I'm not getting cut up by the scissor hands.
And then the audience is like, what? What just happened?
Actually, out of curiosity, so if you were in a horror movie, if you're not going to be the person who lives, it's best to be the person who dies first, right?
Yeah, that's true, actually. I would agree with that.
Because generally, you just get jumped and die pretty quickly, and like you don't have the whole, like, oh my god, I'm going to die part.
Yeah,
you just kind of...
Usually the person that dies first doesn't actually realize what's going on. They don't realize that there's a monster.
Maybe this person after the first person dies. Because I think they always make the first death gory for dramatic effect. Like, the first guy goes in a wood chipper. The second guy just, like, is found murdered in a room.
But if you're the... I mean, if you're the... If at least one person dies before you, then you're going to know that there's a monster around. And you're going to freak out.
Right. So I guess, is that psychological aspect worth avoiding? I feel like it is.
And plus, if I die second to last, I can be like the trashy cheerleader girl, which I think is a look that's easier to pull off.
You could totally pull that off, Marcus. I believe in you.
Yeah, like, maybe I'm on a tropical island, maybe I grab some coconuts and some hula skirt stuff, and I'm like, alright, I'm set, I'm gonna die second, but it's gonna be the best death.
You just cut off like 80% of your jeans and you're golden.
Yeah, and leave the pockets hanging out, and then... And then the monster grabs me by my pockets, ironically.
Oh, no.
It's okay, because you have your guard dog leashed to your pockets.
That would be a twist in a horror movie, where, like, the main characters are running around, but, like, actually the first two kids who, like, disappear and are assumed murdered actually just take care and kill the monster.
Then there wouldn't be...
And you go into, like, the living room basement where it's, like, the dramatic reveal of the corpse, and it's, like, the monster just has a fucking shovel in its face, and it's like, yeah, figured it out. It was weak to shovels.
But then, I mean, what would the rest of the movie be? There wouldn't be a movie then.
It's like play cards. I don't know.
Yeah, they were originally going on vacation or something.
Yeah,
cool.
Just do that.
So, like, they could
it just turned into a
chill
rom-com
in the woods or something. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
That would be a very interesting movie, actually. I would watch that.
A horror movie that turns into a rom-com.
Yeah.
So you basically want the reverse of a Simon Pegg movie.
Right. I was going to say that basically is just Shaun of the Dead, but...
Wait, no. Shaun of the Dead goes from... Well, it goes pretty quickly into zombie movie territory.
Shaun of the Dead is basically just consistently a zombie movie and also a rom-com.
Yeah. Which is an interesting balance. I like the ones where it switches, like the... shit, what's the cop one?
Oh, Hot Fuzz?
Hot Fuzz, yeah. Where it's like starts off as just like a weirdly paced drama, I guess, about a cop retiring and going to live in a small town. And then it just like fucking takes a 180 and is like, oh, by the way.
From Dusk Till Dawn did that really well. It was like a crime. Like there are two criminals like on the run or something. And then like halfway through, it just turns into a vampire movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I think we're once again morphing into a different
we
podcast.
Have.
So I think I think we're going to call it here. Get ready for next week's episodes. Next week's questions. It's all going to be just one episode. And those questions are, what if the Earth was twice as big? And what if you are what you eat? If you have any questions, comments, or your own hypothetical idea you want us to answer, let us know. You can reach us by email at absurdhypotheticals@gmail.com, send us a tweet at absurdhype, that's H-Y-P-E hype, visit our website, www.nerdchomp.com/absurdhypotheticals, and if you enjoyed the show, don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes. It really helps out the show and lets us keep making it for you.